Welcome back, guys. DJ Jason, Camel Wax 304. Cardinal Report, sponsored by Rawlings. Visit the Rawlings Experience in Westport. Why am I talking about Cardinal Report? Well, we have some new news in, you know, kind of expected. But
the team just made it official. I mean, we knew that Lars Nootbaar was coming back today, but the team made it official, so he's on the roster now. Thomas Tejesi goes to Memphis, and then Ryan Fernandez went to the injured list with a back problem, so he's off. He's on the injured list, and Matt Swanson is back from Memphis. But keep in mind that Urias and Church both started rehab assignments last night, so they're going to be back soon, which means more people are moving. Yeah. So you figure it's probably two of the three between Scott, Torres, and Velasquez. Two of those three figure to go back down.
You'd keep Velasquez, wouldn't you?
I would want to lean that way because I want to have the danger against left-handed pitching late in games or even when a left-handed pitcher's starting. Their starting lineup, their main lineup is getting to be very left-handed with Weatherholt, Burleson, Crooks, Gorman, Nootbaar, and Church. Assuming Church take, it's either Church or Scott, one of the two, right? They're all left-handed.
Yeah.
So having the right-handed danger off the bench with power would be a good thing to balance that out.
Yeah. Alvin Reed's here. Hello.
Hey. I mean,
baseball man.
You can't carry a 190 this deep into the season. I think Victor Scott's
And to be clear too, it's also a part of what's best for him. Is it best for Victor Scott to be the fifth outfielder and never play? Or is it better to go to Memphis and play every day and try to fix it?
I agree. Because the discussions, I'm talking to people, I think he's going to be the odd man out. I think he gets sent down. It's not that, dude. Yeah, I mean, they're not, don't DFA him.
No, crazy nonsense
like that. No. But yeah, dude, you got to get it together because we can't carry you. Well, like I say, 25, 26 when you got extra games or however they do it now, but you can't carry that. We're now into June, so.
Yeah. I think everyone I know agrees. Everyone I know loves Victor, and everyone I know thinks he shouldn't be playing center field for the Cardinals.
He's the guy everybody wants to root for.
Yeah.
He's fun. He's a great personality. He's an exciting player, but you can't be exciting when you're never on base.
Right.
Yeah.
And now when he's on base, he doesn't even steal anymore.
He doesn't steal bases, and it's like, I think that's part of the if you got more hits, got more walks, and you were on base more, he would steal more bases. Not just by the mathematical equation, but by you had more confidence in his whole game. Yeah. And I think that's what's missing.
Yeah.
All right, Chicago boy. The Bears going to move to Indiana?
Well, I'm not a Chicago boy.
I thought you were.
I mean, I lived there for a while.
Okay.
My wife's from Chicago.
He only lived there for a few years.
Yeah. Right. I mean, I resent that because I'm a Detroit guy.
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry.
We don't like Chicago.
I apologize. I'm sorry.
No, it's kidding. All right. Yeah, it's fascinating because everybody I know, I mean, so many of my family members, they're all Bear fans. Mm-hmm. So they're all pretty upset about it. In the end, I think Bernie nailed it. In the end, people will get over it.
You know what
they always do.
Yeah.
I feel differently, obviously, than someone who lives in Chicago, but being a man my age, maybe this happens to every 61-year-old, but in our generation, Alvin, we're starting to see our traditions torn down, and I grew up in like the Gary Fincic era of the Bears, and when they just, the monsters, it's just kind of sad.
No, I hear exactly what you're saying. The whole Soldier Field thing, okay, is one that, look, I get it. You can't obliterate that stadium right there and build it where it is. You got to figure something out. But the city of Chicago, just like the city of Kansas City and then the state, just basically said, we're not paying for it. And I guess I could see both sides. Because I'm so familiar with that part of Kansas, the whole idea, the team move over there, that doesn't bother me as much as the Bears being in Northwest Indiana.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm not really grasping that. Ain't my team, what I'm saying? But at the same time, it's like, really, you couldn't figure this out at all? And I don't know what happened to Arlington Heights. That got put on the back.
Well, I can promise you this. The people that live there want no part of the stadium.
Yeah, that's true.
Upscale?
I would say that Arlington Heights is probably a mix of Kirkwood and Ledoux.
Yeah.
Like, depending on which part. Because it's a really nice area. It's older. It's not like a new construction area. It's an older area.
Mm-hmm.
And I can promise you the people there, the businesses there, do not want to be overrun by the construction traffic, the construction road closures, the Sunday traffic, but also the, you know, I think they want to put in like all this mixed use stuff around it.
Right.
Well, you do that in Arlington Heights, and now all of a sudden, all the stuff that exists there is now going down in value. It's all getting, you know, basically hammered out of existence.
So, who owns Soldier Field?
The city, I believe.
The city owns Soldier Field.
What do they do with that?
And I think it's an historic site, so I don't think you can do anything with it.
You really can't do anything.
Damn.
They host college football games.
Yeah, I mean, they'll host it's concerts and, you know, stuff like that. Okay. But I mean,
and it's right there at Grand Park and the aquarium and all that. That, it's just the bare, and you know, that whole thing that they say, like, when it's all said and done, even with a 17-game schedule and counting the preseason, 14 events.
Oh, it's nine or 10 games a year.
Yeah, right. Yeah. You know, we can say what we want to, but okay. It's a big deal for downtown when they play, but it ain't, it's not baseball. It's not even hockey, basketball, whatever. Yeah. You only have limited number of games.
So we get to mix politics and sports here.
All right.
So Donald Trump is injecting himself into the baseball negotiations wheels.
Yes.
Well, he was.
And here's the thing.
He was almost a big leaguer.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. His 137 high school average got him scouted. I'm sure it really happened that way. I mean, it's not a surprise that big business guy who happens to be the president of the United States is on the side of the owners.
Yeah.
And that's what he did. He's like, yeah, there should be a salary cap. Like, all right, dude, just pipe down on something.
All right. And like, that's just,
you don't care about the best interest of the sport. You don't care about what's good for fans. You just don't. You care about the fact that other rich guys want it and they give you money. Because, look, rich people give money to all politicians. I'm sure the owners give to Democrats and Republicans. But they, you know, but I'm sure there are more that lean right than lean left in that group of owners, just based on how I understand the league. And that would include the league office and Roger Goodell. But, like, you don't care about what the point of the cap is. Like, these discussions are all about what can we, well, for us, they're about what can we do to make sure that fans in every city are excited, fans in every city feel like their team has a chance, because long-term for the sport, that's what matters. Short-term money is great. Long-term killing fan bases is going to eventually take away that money. So, and the owners of teams and the players associations in these leagues both have a vested interest in that happening, in fans staying engaged. And they all just argue about how to split it up and the right way to do it. But I don't want to hear from people that don't care and don't pay attention and aren't baseball fans. I don't care what he says. He's not a baseball fan.
Did the MLB's opening salvo on the salary cap impact you at all?
No.
Do you think, like, oh boy, here we go with the shutdown?
No, it was exactly what everybody expected, and the players' response was exactly what everybody expected, and they are polar opposite because we're 9 or 10 months away from this mattering.
And how does this get worked out? Like, what's the mechanism for the, like, does a player's rep go in and negotiate with reps from the ownership, or?
Well, you have the union, right? So the unions have their own head people that will be the, like, official negotiators, and then there's an executive player board. I think it's like, what, 8 players, something like that.
Yes.
You know, like, one of the guys on it is a St. Louis guy. Pete Fairbanks from the Marlins is one of the guys on that executive committee. There are various guys, usually veterans, though, but some younger guys are in that mix. They will be the ones that communicate to the other players when it's time to vote on something, or here's the issue, here's the solution that's proposed. We're going to go back and forth. The negotiating is done separately, and near the end, all of the body comes in. The players all vote.
Okay.
So they're going to have all the information, but they're not all voting on every single thing that's being negotiated. The player reps kind of voice the opinion of their teammates and the union.
And I think, you know, if I were a jury foreman, as soon as we walked in, I'd say, like, okay, blank piece of paper. Don't put your name. Don't jury number one. Any of that. Just write down guilty, not guilty. Okay? And then we could go from there. We got 5-4. Or we got one holdout. We don't have to address who it is. Let's just go through the whole thing. I think each team will probably say, like, okay, blank piece of paper. No one knows. You know, even have it printed up, so all you got to do is write an X. We don't know who voted how, just to see how many people would actually even lean that way. Because I think there is some weight to, I don't want to be the guy that got rid of the salary cap. My best interest, it may be one way or the other, but I just don't want to, I don't want to be, of that group, okay? And I think if I were making the spiel, because I'm old enough and you guys are old enough, I said, like, you know, Kurt Flood and, you know, on and on and on, you'd be letting down the legacy of the sport if you do this. And I think there's some weight to that. I like the numbers, technically, that Major League Baseball, so like, if you're going to give me some numbers, you say, like, look, eight teams got to drop salary, but how many of it have to increase salary, yeah, including the Cardinals? But the Cardinals are usually there.
Normally, they're one of the higher teams.
Out, right now, they're low. So if whatever that window is in there, what I think would have to happen was that you, okay, put it this way, Major League Baseball said, all right, the high end of the cap, it's just some high number. And you know that as revenues go up, that number goes up. So then if the players were to say, like, man, they ain't reached that number, no way. So, yeah, sure, you can have your salary cap, because the salary cap is, what, $350 million or some nonsense or whatever. Maybe they would say, okay, just as long as it's not a true cap, yeah, it's just you threw a number out there. Then the owners have to police themselves. I mean, right now, you can say what you want to, but I think a lot of fans are saying, like, well, the Dodgers are doing X, Y, Z, okay? And that just kills a lot of other franchises that really don't have a chance. So I get the back and forth, but like you said, this from the get-go, you said, like, they want a salary cap. We do not want a salary cap. We are not going to negotiate on a salary cap. We'll see you December 1st when you lock us out.
Yeah, see, the thing about all of it is super frustrating is the players have had the same position and stated the same things basically year after year after year for the last 60 years.
Yeah.
The owners sing different songs depending on the day you're talking to them.
True.
A year and a half ago, Rob Manfred was bragging about the competitive balance in the sport, mm-hmm, and how everybody's had a chance and everybody's made the playoffs in this amount of time. And now he's singing the opposite tune. Mm-hmm. Well, gee, I wonder why. Because you're trying to get a salary cap. Because you're trying to get financial certainty. This battle for the ownership side, and fans need to understand this, from the ownership side, this battle is entirely about franchise values. Franchise values are not going up in baseball as fast as they're going up in the NFL and the NBA. And it's because in the NFL and NBA, you have capped costs. You have fixed costs, which raises the value of the franchise overall. That has nothing to do with me as a fan. I don't care about a franchise value. It doesn't impact me at all. This is entirely about the owners wanting their franchises to gain value basically overnight by instituting salary structure that doesn't, you know, that gives you cost certainty, right? There's a maximum amount. It's not about competitive balance. Competitive balance has not been created by any cap in any sport ever. There is no competitive balance in football. There is no competitive balance in basketball. There isn't. It doesn't exist. Those are the two sports with the most dynasties of any sport in modern era. Baseball just had their first back-to-back winner in how long?
And almost
30 years.
Right.
And just happened. Right. And we're all panicking because it literally just happened now. People were panicking when the Subway Series happened between the Yankees and the Dodgers in 2001. And nothing went away. In fact, from 2001 on, we ended up, once the Yankees got out of their dynasty, we ended up getting one of the most competitive eras in modern baseball history.
So with the salary cap, there's a floor, correct?
Yes.
There is. Yes. The problem, and to me, the whole thing about this is terminology, right? If the floor, the way this was proposed, the floor and the cap are still, what, $100 million apart?
Yeah, it's even a little bit more than that.
So,
I think.
I mean, that's three superstar players difference between the top teams and the lowest teams. Those lower teams are not going to go up from the bottom. They're going to be at the bottom. The top teams are now restricted from going any higher. They can't go any higher, which is why the players don't like the idea of the competitiveness of it, because now there is no incentive to compete. There's no ability for anybody to change. And once people get capped out, then there's no room for you to play around.
And if I was a player, I would also be thinking to myself, okay, I'm a star for the Dodgers. I'm not, you know, Otani. All right. But I'm a star for the Dodgers. Let's say now they have to reduce payroll. So I'm odd man out. Okay. I salary cap hit, just like in the NFL. that don't mean the like you said, that, the Pirates gonna sign me? Hell no.
And that's the other problem. And I don't want to get too long on this because the music's playing, but there are unintended consequences. And if you get to the point where the salary is no longer the biggest draw to a team, then what becomes the biggest draw is location. Everyone wants to be where you can make the most money off the field, which is L.A., New York, Chicago, Miami, those places.
Welcome back, DJS, to 324. All right, here's the strangest headline I've had maybe all year.
All right.
Actual headline.
Okay, I'm
ready. I expect to hear this brought up on Donnybrook next Thursday.
Okay, all right.
Masturbation among birds is natural and should not be punished, says experts.
Well, how are you going to punish a bird? I mean,
I think it might. You mean pet birds? Those wild ones are just going to fly away.
Yeah,
and you're like, hey, stop that right now! Yeah.
Hey, crow, cut that out!
Right, you got to chastise your bird in a cage.
It's funny you guys say that because that's kind of what it is. Bird people have been discouraging their pets from that behavior because they think it shows some sort of anxiety and they don't want to be there. And then the experts are like, hey. Have you watched birds in the wild? It's all they do. So, like,
birds are, first of all, birds are prehistoric. You know, you have to
explain. They're dinosaurs.
Dinosaurs, right. Or dinosaurs or birds.
They've been doing that for hundreds of millions of years. I'm going to stop for you because you put them in a cage.
That's just, really? I mean, they're, that is a strange headline.
You know how Gen Z loves to rename things that already exist?
Right. Are they doing it with the bird thing now?
Rach has been on this week. They're calling it a plop vacation. Instead of cramming your trip full of sightseeing and excursions, you just plop down on a beach chair and enjoy your vacation. Thank you, Gen Z.
Well, I could. All right. There are times when you travel on business and like one day of it, especially the day I would get to the town, I wouldn't do anything. Like the Thursday I would go to the first event, I go to the hotel room. Next time you saw me was on Friday. I might do like 20 hours where I just didn't do anything. I just basically would lay in bed and watch TV. I'd even order room service because I'm just too lazy to even just
that's
just,
lazy.
That's just lazy.
That
right.
is a whole level of lazy.
Hey, when you got, like you say, we got two kids are young and you're gone for the weekend, it's just kind of like, you know what? I'm just.
You're going the way of the birds.
I'm lazing out.
That's a dumb name, by the way.
What's
plop.
That?
A plop.
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 Yeah.
I don't like that connotation.
That's connotation is kind of
like. Sounds like a number two.
How about flop? You just flop out of the bed.
That's all my vacations. Dude, don't go on vacation with me if you want to rent jet skis.
No. You go with me right. If you want to do that.
No. Or I might go see. If it's some history to be seen, I might go see it. But, yeah, I ain't. Right. I'm not.
I want to jump some waves, man. Let's go. Get some air.
You're going to love this one. People are pushing back on calling AI or robots clankers.
Oh, come on.
They say it's too close to being a racial or religious slur, and we should include the AI.
No.
With humans.
No.
In not
no.
having derogatory names.
No, we shouldn't.
We shouldn't.
They're
Bill
machines.
Bill McClellan calls it A1. Yes, I always call it A1.
No, why are we assigning human traits to technology?
To any machine.
Or to a rock, or to a car, or to anything.
Agreed. The world's falling apart. Right.
I mean, it's so stupid.
You ever remember the movie The Forbin Project? And the computers kind of take over the world and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. That used to be the biggest like nonsense in the world. I don't think it's going to happen, but at the same time, I think sooner or later some company is going to say, like, man, we got hacked. You said, like, you got hacked by your own computer.
Yeah. Oh, sure.
You know what? I think that will happen.
Yeah.
That the shutdown they'll think is from China, someplace like that. And it's like, no, our own computer did that.
Yeah. Anyone watch War Games with Matthew Broderick when we're kids?
Would you like to play a game?
I love that.
I think you just
said
someone
pee on a spark plug.
Hey, I'm tired. Right, he said like, that movie, it was good to like, oh, so they go find the guy on like Mercer Island outside of Seattle and he's flying like the automated dinosaur bird and he's got all the answers. And I'm thinking like, so nobody went to go ask this egghead, hey man, look, we about to blow the world up. Do you have a suggestion for it? The two kids have to go find him.
Welcome back, guys. DG, Asun, KMOX. Happy Friday to everybody. 3:35, Dave Murray time, brought to you by the Saliga Heating and Cooling Weather Center. Hey, Dave.
Hi there.
How are things?
Good. I have a question for Wheels.
Uh-oh.
Not a weather question at all.
Okay, good.
Though I know you would be okay with that.
I am a trained weather spotter, after all.
I know. I'm not a huge basketball fan, and I'm certainly not a huge NBA fan, but I check in during the playoffs and check in the finals now. Is it me, or does it seem like almost every play these guys are traveling?
Oh, my God. I can answer that one.
Yeah, no, they've definitely, over time, kind of softened the way that they enforce that rule.
Okay.
It's not that it doesn't exist, but it's like it's a little, like you get a little bit of a bonus start step, and they kind of, the Euro step also looks more of a travel than it actually is. So the guys that they go to their right and they go to their left on the same move toward the lane. Yeah. But I mean, people said that about Magic Johnson too. Every time he dribbled, he was carrying the ball because he was dribbling up into his face because he had a high dribble. And people used to argue that Michael Jordan traveled all the time when he was going for his dunks. I think it's clearly a thing. Like, they've just decided, we think the entertainment is more important than just being really precise on this rule.
Cool. Okay. I feel better.
When they invented basketball, was dribbling automatically a part of it, do you think?
I think so. I think the whole point was you couldn't just pick it up and run with it.
Right,
like, you can bounce it and move with it, or you can give it to someone else,
That's fun.
Yeah. I mean, the game's. This is the thing that is, and it's to me is one of a, it's a fascinating thing as a sports fan, is that every sport has changed so that the generation that came before it doesn't like the current model, right? So if you go back to the 1950s and 60s Boston Celtics, that basketball game, that style of play doesn't look anything like the 80s looked right? And people in the 80s were like, all this dunking and fast breaking. No, we need two-handed set shots and we need more bounce passes. And because that's what the old style was, and this will repeat forever. it will never stop.
So that was a little get off my lawn attitude on my part.
Well, but I think it's natural. Like, people, they're all kinds of old baseball fans don't like the current game. They like of course, because it was what you knew. And in 20 years, people will go back and look at this time and like, man, I wish it was still like that, because this is the natural cycle in every sport, and it has been forever.
Can I just say, Kevin is so sweet. I just asked possibly the dumbest question ever, and he was like, no, I think it was probably always like that. You mean the fundamental part of the sport?
Yeah,
I think they started with that.
I don't think it's a dumb question at all.
I
mean, sports morph quite a bit.
I thought about it a little longer, and I was like, that was probably
you know where it started, right?
I know there was like peach baskets.
Yeah,
Lawrence, Kansas.
Something of wasn't it like
James
a YMCA?
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
Hey, let's throw this pumpkin through this basket.
Yeah. Think about all the...
So they weren't bouncing it. You can't
not when it was pumpkin, no.
Do you think there are great games that just didn't make it out of the...
Yeah. Yeah, I'm absolutely.
Sure. Man, talking about like ancient man, I wonder what kind of games they were playing.
Oh, what's the one called... That the Aztecs played.
Yeah, I don't know.
They had a big. It was like a huge, almost like a football size arena, and there were baskets on the side. And I think you had to like score baskets to not die or something.
Yeah, I think the other side, the losing team got beheaded.
It was something crazy. Like, it was super like hyper competitive.
Yeah.
Now that's entertainment.
Yeah.
Yeah. No
didn't
kidding.
They play that? Did they show that in the Mel Gibson movie?
You know, I didn't make it through that. I started watching that about a month ago.
Yeah.
And it wasn't like it was bad, but I don't know. I just didn't make it through.
Yeah, that's streaming somewhere because I considered watching it too. And
not bad. It's not bad. I can't watch it because there's so many animals in it. My dog won't stop attacking the TV. I got to make sure he's asleep when I watch that one.
Yeah, I was going to say you cannot watch TV with your dog. Yeah. Dave, how are we looking this weekend, especially for people going out to the Reds card series?
Okay. It's more humid. It's coming up today. It's still okay today, but it is definitely more humid. Temperatures will be warm again, kind of typical for early June. I still think the day for scattered showers and thunderstorms, one over the other, is still going to be Sunday. I don't think we see much tomorrow. Maybe a pop afternoon shower. I wouldn't worry about it at all, but we're going to get up to about 92 and humid. Fairly quiet Saturday night. Don't see any problems. Sunday, scattered showers and thunderstorms around. No all-day rain, and it's not a severe weather outbreak. But there will be a couple of storms that could produce some heavy downpours of rain and lightning. not for everybody. That scattered shower and thunderstorm pattern continues Sunday night and throughout the day, Monday and probably Tuesday, too.
Okay. Fair
so
enough.
So back to summer.
I've not been to nearly as many games this season so far, but I'm going tonight and I'm going tomorrow. Tomorrow's my first solo game, so I'm looking forward to that.
Fun.
Yeah. Typically a Sunday thing, but Sunday we're watching Widow's Bay. So, got plans.
Big plans.
All you people with your Apple TV.
Yeah, we're going to lord it over you, too.
Didn't realize I worked with a bunch of billionaires.
I have two Apple TVs.
I canceled my Apple TV, just so you know, Rachel. Okay.
For some reason, that one just seems like it would be expensive, and I don't know why.
I think we have some combo thing because we have Apple Music, too. I think we have some tie-them-all-together thing.
I pretty much have everything, and it's all tied to a email that I lost years ago, so I can't cancel it if I want to.
Yeah,
so.
you're with those guys for life.
We're attached at the hip. Headlines, Rach?
Yeah, let's start by talking about some good news. Gas prices have come down more than 32 cents in the past 2 weeks. So that's a notable improvement. Mm-hmm. Still pretty expensive, but it's good to hear down 32 cents. Prices could remain unpredictable in the weeks and months ahead because everything that's going on. But for now, we can smile that it's a little cheaper. We already talked about this earlier in the show, but they're saying most web traffic may not be generated by humans. 57.3% is going to be bots at this point, edging out humans at 42%.
Okay, I have a question.
What's up?
I don't expect you to know the answer to this, but you'll know more than me. What percentage of the bot traffic is useful? It's just someone using bots to do their business. And what percentage is just crap? Just bots trying to cause trouble or scam you? Like, do we have any ideas on those numbers?
I don't know the answer to that.
Like, are bots a valid thing to use the internet? And I just don't understand it?
No, there are ways that it could be useful for you if you have, like, a business and you use it to promote your business. And it's not, like, a shady thing where you're, like, doing false reviews for your own business or whatever like that. But, I mean, the bots are typically made to stir up the crap. And in some cases, I mean, look, a lot of foreign entities, foreign governments use bots to sow dissent to get people at each other's throats, which certainly seems to be working.
It seems to be working.
Okay, here's a crazy follow-up to the George Santos Kalshi story. So NPR was reporting on the situation, and NPR journalist Bobby Allen says George Santos delivered a jarring threat to him over the phone. Jeez. Santos allegedly said, "This story is going to get you a gun in your face."
Holy crap.
Oh, yes. So this alleged threat came after Allen reported that federal regulators were investigating George Santos over fishy activity on Kalshi. Santos, of course, has a documented history of lying, but he denies any activity, and he also denies that he said anything about putting a gun in anyone's face. George says, "Not once was I ever threatening or aggressive. Sassy? Sure. But aggressive and threatening? Never.
Sassy.
Because I never lie."
Yeah.
Yeah, I got to say, George, I am not sure I believe you,
sir.
Who's
the guy? Was it John Lovitz's character? Was that Tommy Flanagan? The liar.
Sounds right. Yeah.
That's
the liar.
That's George Santos.
Yep.
He's going to just lie about everything.
Okay. There was a last minute World Cup rule change that has really angered fans. And that rule change is,
I heard this,
fans can no longer bring reusable water bottles into stadiums during the tournament in the U.S., Mexico, and Canada.
And evidently, this has always been a thing. That you can bring your own bottle. It's going to be hot. You don't want to get dehydrated and pass out. But yeah, they just said no more, which can only be a money grab, right?
It's 100% what it is.
Yeah.
Unless they're giving them out.
They're claiming it's about safety, saying that the bottles could be used as projectiles.
Oh, shut up. I hate FIFA.
Yeah. And they say, we're aware of heat safety concerns. But yeah, I don't, to answer your question, I don't think they're going to be giving away free water. I don't think that's going to
be. Well,
I mean,
again, other than that, then you are forcing people to pay water so that they don't get dehydrated and get sick.
Yeah. Yep. That's very wrong. Yeah, there was one time I was at a venue in the St. Louis area, and I was like in the pit in the concert, and I started to get extremely overheated, and I walked to the bar and I'm like, can I please have water? They're like, that's $3. I'm like, I don't have any cash on me. Can I please have some water so I don't pass out?
Right.
And the bartender was like, fine.
Jeez.
Yeah. Sorry. Dang. Crazy story.
It's the power of Rachel right there.
See, they've been doing this, though. FIFA's been doing this with a lot of things leading up to this tournament, like changing things after the
they
fact.
They suck.
Yeah, they kind of
they changed like the ticket pricing
up.
And the ticket categorizations after tickets went on sale. So people that had purchased them now all of a sudden have less valuable seats because they moved them and because they reclassified the section so that it could be more expensive to buy. Yeah. Okay. FIFA's about as crooked as it gets.
One last story for you guys. A diner is blaming Outback Steakhouse and mashed potatoes for a nasty fall that they suffered. A customer says that they were walking to the bathroom when they slipped on what appeared to be mashed potatoes and an Outback Steakhouse, hitting the hard floor of the restaurant and suffering serious ongoing injuries that has affected her ability to work and led to substantial medical expenses. Outback Steakhouse is denying the accusations, saying it didn't know of any hazardous condition and it wouldn't have been required to post a warning even if there were potatoes on the floor. It'll be interesting to see
that's
how this plays out.
That's a weird thing to say. Like we can just put mashed potatoes on our floor willy-nilly?
We do that all the time.
Yeah.
You should know there's a possibility of mashed potatoes on the floor at any moment.
Jeez. Welcome back, DGS. Happy Friday. A few minutes shy of 4 p.m. George Mayhew will be here from St. Louis Magazine at the top of the hour. A few fun facts.
Oh, yes.
I find this really hard to believe. All of the planets in the solar system could fit snugly between the Earth and the Moon. I always thought, like, you could have 1,000 Earths and Jupiter or something like that. I guess I'm just making crap up.
I know Jupiter is big.
That's a lot of space between the Earth and the Moon.
I guess. The FBI followed Russell Crowe around for almost 2 years in the early 2000s after they got a credible threat that Al-Qaeda was going to kidnap him as a cultural destabilization plot. Mm. They thought that if they kidnapped Russell Crowe, the U.S. would just go into a tailspin.
What?
Yep.
I mean, it probably would have. That was right after Gladiator came out.
Yeah, maybe.
Yeah, but then you got to hold on to that Gladiator.
Yeah, how are you going to hold on to Russell Crowe?
Are you not entertained?
It's going to throw a phone at Al-Qaeda.
Yeah, look out,
get
dude.
Right out of it.
The guy who founded North Face died in 2015 from hypothermia after a kayaking accident.
Sad.
Yeah. But I guess that's one of those, like, the dumbest cliche ever. It's like, oh, he died doing what he loved, but I guess he kind of did. The original lyrics of Rupert Holmes' The Pina Colada Song, you know that one? If you like pina coladas... Getting caught in the rain.
I thought that was the, what's his name?
Jimmy Buffett?
Yeah, no, I got it wrong.
I always get those mixed up too.
I thought it was a Barry Manilow song.
Hmm.
It's not? It's some other guy?
Yep, Rupert Holmes.
Oh.
And the original line was, if you like Humphrey Bogart and getting caught in the rain. But he already mentioned Humphrey Bogart in many of his other songs.
This guy's a big Casablanca fan.
Right? Yeah, I think Rupert's got some issues,
bro.
Like those birds.
If you're in love with Humphrey Bogart,
nobody
just
wants
can't
to hear
stop
you
singing
say
about
it.
Him.
The latest sensation in cooking videos, Rach, I don't know if you know this one, Tiny Grandma.
I have not seen Tiny Grandma.
She's a 6-inch tall puppet grandma who cooks up human sized Korean food. The creators say that YouTube flagged them for being AI, but they do everything the old school way. She